Hey guys, it's Tom here. Just wanted to let you know that we have a Patreon you can get on for $3 a month and you get bonus episodes every week. And if you sign up for the whole year, you get a 10% discount. That's $2.70 a month, I believe. And we also have a tier where you can be a guest on the Patreon show. You could pick a band yourself to defend and do it on the Patreon. So get on over there. It's patreon.com/standbyyourband. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined as always by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy? I'm
feeling great. Just got one of those rapid tests. Got a negative. Always a good feeling, you know?
Oh, hell yeah. Rapid HIV test. Yep. That's very good. I'm full of COVID, but HIV free.
I get one every day, just in case. You know my
life. It's fun.
Man, the budget for that. Respect.
And, oh, let's introduce our guest. Guest of the Master, Almonte. How's it going, man?
How y'all doing? Good.
Glad to have you. Star of Sandwich Comedy. Was that the name of that show?
Yes, indeed.
Hell yeah. Is that still going? What's going on with that?
I mean, we're not doing it during the quarantine. So sadly, as you know, no one's been able to cash in on those royalty cards.
You know what's funny is I felt bad because I made fun of that to their loyalty card when I did the show. I was like, nobody's going to cash it. Nobody's coming to 10 of these and remembering this card every damn time. But
and it was the first show. So like the very first sandwich show, we give out these loyalty cards. Like if you were going to a sandwich shop, if you went to 8 shows, you'd get a free show. Admittedly, the hubris to think
it's
that would happen.
It's a brilliant idea. I really like it.
I agree with the premise. I do think we overshot with it being 8 shows. I agree. That's insanity. Like, I know comics that wouldn't go to my show for 8 times in a row. It's a thing. And so I agree. I'm glad you pointed out the insanity of that. Thank you. But yeah.
Very, very fun. It was you and Jess, right, Solomon?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, nice.
Homie. Yeah, we hosted at Union Hall for about a year, and hopefully we get to go back to it afterward.
Hell yeah.
That's like one of the last shows I remember doing in New York before I left for LA that I was like, man, that was so fun. And it was this like this sandwich show that was so silly and a good time. And then I went to LA assuming I'd come back to a city flush with shows, and instead the shows were flushed down the toilet, that is. So I have fond memories of that. What have you been doing besides that? Have you been doing any comedy at all? Have you been doing Zoom shit? What have you been doing?
Yeah, man, just working on a lot of things. I mean, most notably, I got a podcast with the homie Shalay with Sharp, The War Report.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. Every Thursdays, we put up just our hot takes on, you know, random things that are happening in the news.
Hell yeah. What'd you say it's called again?
The War Report. It's named after like the Capone and Noriega album, The War Report.
Hell yeah.
It's like a New York classic. We actually remade the cover with ourselves instead of Capone and Noriega. We did it so well that like it got taken down the first day because it looked we put up their cover. So like I the very first morning of the podcast, I'm on Twitter like ranting, like, yo, Noriega don't fuck with me and my cover. What's going on with you? I thought you was about these streets. So like I'm going on a tirade about it, and like he finally like sees the picture. He's like, oh, this is cool. I like this. I'm like, fuck, I hope he doesn't read the rest of these 50 messages.
That's like an amazing compliment to whoever designed your cover, though. I don't know who did it, but that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. We had the homie Peter Anthony Red designed it, and Mike Brick took the pictures.
Oh, nice.
Oh, we love Mike Brick, friend of the show. Man. Awesome and also, people who listen to the show love Shalay with Sharp. We know it, and so they'll love you guys on that pod. The War Report. Is she a 2-time winner of the?
She did our live show twice, and she won the tournament both times. So she's a legend at Stand By Your Band.
She's a legend. She did Bjork and won by defying all odds, and then. Who else did she?
I don't remember
that
the other
won
one.
With?
Yeah,
I believe she won twice, and she's just. Stand By Your Band All-Star. So, yeah, I think people will have got to check that out. The War Report.
Her jersey will go up in the Stand By Your Band Raptors
yes.
Hall of Fame.
Right next to our bodies that will be hanging from those Raptors.
It's on her Wikipedia page right after every other, you know what I mean? HBO, Stand By Your Band All-Star. That's, you know what I mean? Then Comedy Central.
If I was in the NBA, yeah, then Comedy Central. If I was in the NBA, that's how I would, I'd be like, don't hang my jersey from the Raptor. Hang me. Hell, I want to die.
That's how you stand up.
After I'm dead. That's the way I would go.
There's some casket up there in the air. I like it.
Man, I am I'm kooky right now. I gotta tell you, I took I don't know what your coping mechanisms for this shit has been, but I had to pull it back on the drinking a little bit. I was like, it's just becoming too casual for me to just slip into a lot of whiskey. So I was like, I'm gonna take some time off. And it's so funny how fast I get annoyed with like not having results, because I was like, I want to lose some weight. I just saw one of those pictures where I was like, I want to lose some weight.
Okay.
And it's been 2 days, and I'm like, what the fuck, man? Why am I still doing this? I woke up kind of tired today, and I was like, what's even the point then? If you wake up not fully refreshed and birds are around chirping in your ears and shit, I don't know.
I always have the opposite experience. Like, I'm definitely overweight. I've been losing weight, but like, I get way too like satisfied quickly. Like, I had like a salad like for lunch and dinner yesterday, and I woke up like, oh, that six pack is coming in.
Yeah,
you know, like, I was in the mirror flexing this morning. You couldn't tell me shit today. Like, I was feeling great, and I'm still 300 pounds. So like, I'm not close, but in my heart of hearts, I still see the kid from high school. He's there. Just, you know, one more salad, and I'm there. You know.
I'll do that shit where I'll eat a salad for lunch, and then I'll be like, well, that means for dinner I can have 3 racks of ribs, because I had that salad. Of course. So it doesn't matter.
Good math. Yeah. That's just science.
The salad is in there absorbing any food that I
exactly.
eat after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do the same shit, although I also have trouble going the other way, where I'm like, I flip so hard, and, you know, trigger warning for any people with eating shit, but I will go, okay, well, fuck it then. If I'm not allowed to eat, then I just won't fucking eat. And then I will eat like one thing and then not eat again for a day and a half and then be like, why am I mad? And then it's because of that.
Yeah, my mom lives down the block, so that's never happened to me. Like, that's just impossible. I have an amazing cook in my house as my wife, and then my mom is down the block, and they're like unofficially like battling. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, you liked your wife's dish yesterday? All right, I'm going to come out with some shit, you know? And it's like they're competing for my love while slowly killing me with diabetes from these dishes.
I can't even – so my fiance has gotten really good at cooking. She's been cooking up a storm, and she kills it, but she cooks super healthy food. And then I'm like, why am I unhealthy? And then I remember I brought this home. those of you at home, it's a bag of Takis popcorn. And, I brought it home, and she was like, what the fuck is that? The bag is purple, and it's like the color does not look like food.
It's Grimace,
like
chips.
That's dark orange. Yes. It looks very scary. Oh, and fun tidbit about buying these. So I went for a run yesterday, and that was like, another thing I do to myself. I'll work out like crazy but not eat enough. And then I'm starving. So then I eat the most, I'll just eat Taco Bell or whatever. Cause it's right. Like it'll be right there. It's fast, whatever, you know?
Right.
And so, I stopped at Rite Aid or at Walgreens, and they didn't have any carts or whatever. And I just fucked up. I got too many things in my arms, and I had a pack of seltzers in my hands, and they all just spilled out everywhere. Ooh. And it was one of those spills where it's like everything bad happened that could happen, where it's like an old lady slips on it, she's dead. And then
she's dead.
But it's,
she's in
dead.
The rafters.
She's in the rafters. Hang that jersey up, Dana.
Sorry, Grandma.
But I have this shit in my hands. I've got two bags of these. They're full. So then a woman comes to help me. She's seeing all this bullshit. I look like a wreck. And as she's helping me pick stuff up. More stuff is falling out of my arms.
Oh, my God.
And then I got to the register, and I say this because it doesn't happen, like, a lot. It's very rare that this happens, and I knew it was a comic as soon as he said. But as the guy's checking me out who just saw all that shit happen, he's like, Tom Takkar? And I was like, oh, fuck. And he was like, he just was like, oh, I saw your cone. And I was like, well, now you've seen this.
You've seen the other end of it.
Yep.
Every time I've dropped something, my father has been there to remind me that I should eat more vegetables. like if that would have happened to me, you'd be like, that wouldn't have happened to you if you had vitamins and minerals. You know that, right? You're eating that bullshit. That's why you got no grip. You got no strength in them hands. You know what I mean?
Well, shit. Shall we get into the show, boys?
Yeah. Let's do it up.
I like the topic you introduced today, which is rap sidekicks.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of these, man.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, I'm gonna just show my cards right off the top. I don't know a ton. I don't go deep into rap sidekicks, so I watched everything you sent us today, and you gave us the most homework anybody has ever given us. I'm not kidding. Look, I'll give you credit. You gave us a timestamp, but you sent us a 4.5 hour long YouTube clip. And I found myself just laying in bed watching, and I was like, I've been watching this for an hour. What happened? Where's my day? It was entertaining, is the thing.
I did timestamp both of the clips that required it. But yeah, I felt it was vital for the research, you know?
That show is wild. That what's it called?
Yes,
Drink Champs.
Yes. It was really cool. I'd never seen it before. It's like a crazy environment.
So cool.
Yeah.
That's the other reason I kept watching, because I was like, holy shit, these guys are fucked up. This is insane. You don't get to see that. Busta Rhymes looks like he's about to fall asleep at times. It's insane. Yeah, I loved it.
Because, like, as is, drinking for 4 hours is a lot. Like, that's, and they're not drinking beer. It's hard quality liquor. But on top of that, like, they've already been drinking. Like, when the show starts, it's never like, yo, pass the first bottle. They're already trashed. Like, they've been drinking. They've lost track of people. Like, there's moments in the conversation when they're like, where is this guy? And it's someone right next to them. Like, you can tell there's a little bit of, like, incoherence happening already. You know? So, it becomes, like, super revealing of these, like, people that, like, have really interesting lives that were incredibly important to me growing up. So yeah, I love the show. I love seeing it. But yeah, that clip in particular I thought was vital because it introduces one of the two sidekicks being a sidekick to this day, you know? So
yeah,
you can't beat that.
Yeah, it was really cool. So this is Spliff Star, the Busta Rhymes sidekick. Mm-hmm. And I like right where you timestamped it. It was really cool because I think Nori brings up something about Spliff. And Busta is immediately just like, no, no, no. We're bringing him over. We're getting him a mic. I'm not just going to talk about him. You know. And I love that. Seeing him do that, I thought was really cool.
Yeah. He's definitely like, yo, this is my boy. You need to hear it from him. By the same token, I just love the fact that, like, yo, I'm such a, like, ride or die sidekick that, like, I will go with you to this 4 hour podcast recording on the chance that you need something. And clearly, like, 3 hours in, he was like, oh yeah, I'm available. You know, I'm right. You know, like, I don't got anybody in my life that would sit here next to me to talk to y'all. Just off the strength that I might need something. Like, and it wasn't like they needed him a lot, but they kept him. But, like, literally 3 hours into the interview, something came up that he would remember better. Bring him out here. The audacity of that. To be like, yo, I need you nearby just in case. And he's like, yeah, I'm about that, sir. That's love. That's commitment. You know, so yeah, I felt like we needed to applaud sidekicks. More people, A, need them, and B, should consider being them. So yeah, I felt like I wanted to highlight the sidekick in hip hop. I chose two of my favorites, Spliff Star for Busta Rhymes and Memphis Bleek for Jay-Z.
Yeah. And it's interesting you picked those two because I was reading, I just did a little bit of separate Googling. I did a little separate research on top of the stuff you sent, which I do appreciate because a lot of times this show is just us Googling a person's name and sucks and seeing what comes up. So having actual shit that we didn't have to search through to find was very appreciated. But I found a list of best sidekicks, and Memphis Bleek got called out as like one of the best of all time on a list where Spliffstar was used as an excuse or as an example of somebody who was like brought along who isn't that great, who was like an like the list was all these people who were like embarrassing or something, where it's like they tried to bring them along and then they're kind of like not cool. Like I think Ghostface Killah's sidekick was on the list. I can't remember who all was on there, but it was a bunch of people I didn't know. But Spliffstar, and that they're mostly used as someone to carry the weed through the airport, which I thought was really funny. That you just have a guy, you're like, look, you can get a couple lines here or there, but will you just make sure if we get caught for weed at the airport, it's on you.
It's your charge. Yeah, I mean, it's a vital role. You know what I mean? Like, weed has become legal recently, but for a long time, it was a very dangerous but important part of the mission. You know, there wasn't quality weed everywhere and needed to bring weed for 6 to 7 people. That's a lot of stuff. So, and also, if you've seen Spliffstar, he's like 5'7". So he doesn't have a lot of space to hide said weed. You know what I mean? So, like, this is commendable. Like, I don't think people are thinking this guy was a visionary. If he would have applied, like, that same level of focus to anything, like, he could have solved cancer. Like, this dude was, like, out there working, figuring out, how do I get this weed through this airport? You know? Spending valuable hours thinking on that. So, yeah, I commend that man for
that. It's good. Job. See, what a lot of people don't know about Stand By Your Band is when we travel, I secretly put a lot of heroin in Tommy's bag. And, and that's our merch. So, if you bought a koozie, you'll notice there's a little baggie inside of it. That's why they cost $200 each.
I did watch, you sent the video of them doing Break Your Neck, which is my favorite Busta Rhymes song. And it was great to see because, you know, after watching the interviews, listening to some of the song, it was just great to see that because that live element is the main reason, I feel like, for these guys to be there. And he is great. He's super charismatic, great performer, getting everyone hyped up. I thought he was really good at it.
Yeah, I mean, he understands what his job is, just being frank. Like, to your point, I'm sure that list was accurate. He's not a successful individual rapper, but he is successful as a hype man. He figured out like very quickly, yo, this is, I'm his friend, but like he definitely is promoting all the other members of Flipmo Squad before me. So like Busta Rhymes and the record label knew if someone's gonna get famous besides me, it's gonna be Rod Digga. It might be this guy, Lord Have Mercy, who ended up disappearing. But yeah, he figured out another role. He's like, I gotta stick around. And say what you will, Lord Have Mercy more or less disappeared. Rod Digga, haven't heard from him much. We still see Spliffstar. Mm-hmm. That dude is still around to this day because he figured out a role. He figured out a job. And yeah, like Busta is like proud as hell of what Spliff does for him. Like, you know, Busta's known, like, especially now with TikTok, for doing speed raps. Like that song he does with Chris Brown is a TikTok legend, like, you know, with him doing the rapping so fast. And he was like, yo, I'm 50 years old. I can't be doing that shit on stage jumping around anymore. So what do? I stand still, I say the rap, and I let this guy jump around for me, you know? And Spliff figured that out. He's like, I can't be wasting time learning my own raps. I got to learn this guy's raps and jump around when he needs me to jump around. And I need to know when the fast raps are coming. So he applied himself to bring, you know, this other person to the top. I thought it was really, like, humbling, you know? Like, everybody needs other people in their team so that they can shine. He figured out, like, you know what? It ain't about me. It's about Busta.
I love that. I love it from Buster's side. I like it that he is, like, I just did
say Buster?
Buster, by the way. Yeah, I did say Buster.
He's with Buster,
I like
Keaton,
Buster.
Right?
Oh, God. I've never wanted to edit something out more, but I'll leave it in. I like it from Buster's side that he is like, in that 4.5 hour interview where he brings him in, I was like, that's cool as hell that he's like, no, I have mutual respect for this guy and I'm not going to just go. Cause I mean, in comedy, there's that sort of role too, where, I mean, I've been an opener for somebody who is like, refers to you as their opener is kind of weird about it. And it's not a good feeling. And you're like, what the, like, I'm a person too. And so having somebody treat you like, no, I want to have this person on the mic. I don't need to like talk about them like they're not in the room. It's very awkward.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
During those moments, like obviously, like, you're not getting the shine as much as the headliner is, but you make the show happen too, right? Like, you're a mm-hmm. part of that engine. Like, the
right.
any opener of merit and of experience will know that, like, yeah, I'm good, but, like, I still need time to do a good job. So, yeah, like, they yeah. value you regardless of the fact that you're not playing that same role. And, you know, for maybe sure. we become headliners and, you know, you're doing well, Tom. I'm happy for you. But by the same token, if you didn't do that, you would still be valued at what you do. And those headliners appreciate that. Buster appreciates that in Spliff. You know what I mean?
Sure. Man, Buster's a good guy.
But to me, like, Buster is like Andy Richter. You know, he's still freaking yeah. dope, you know, and he has a brand, a name. And, you know, to Kona's credit, Andy was like, y'all want to try to be the man. And he left. He tried to do his own shows. It ain't work, you know, for whatever reason. Like, he's even more eccentric than Tone. And as his own thing, it just doesn't connect with people in the same way that Tone stuff did, that Kona stuff did. That said, he welcomed them back. He's like, yo, you still my man's. Come through.
Yeah,
like, it's still a party. You're still part of this.
Man,
so.
I totally forgot that he left like that. That was
I actually liked that show. Time. Andy Richter Controls the Universe. I thought it was actually really funny. It. Really funny show. But did not pop off.
it ain't work.
It was not Conan. Yeah.
And being real, I feel the same way about Spliff. Like, the songs that I sent you, I thought he crushes them. Like, he's clearly capable of writing a very incredible verse, but for whatever reason, you know, maybe he's not as marketable, whatever the case may be, his thing just doesn't work solo. So
let's go ahead and hear. Oh no, is this not? YouTube seems to be down. That's a big problem.
Spotify.
Might just have
episode?
To do it on Spotify here. Let me see. I'm trying to find Big Rings from.
Here we go.
From Spliff here. Let me see here.
I enjoyed this just because, like, this was Spliff trying to finally put out his solo album. This is like in 2000. This is already after, like, all right, we've been famous for like 15 years. You deserve this, you know? So, like, it felt cool for them to finally, like, all right, let's focus on you for a change. Let's make this happen. But he's still, like, he's humble enough to be like, all right, but I still need you to go first.
Okay, I found it on Spotify, so we'll just do that. Although the video is cool. So this is Big Rings. It's Spliff Star and Busta Rhymes and some other who else is on this? I can't see. All right, here we go.
Play ball for these big rings. You would think I play ball for these big rings. You would think I play ball for these big rings.
You would think I play ball for these big rings. So many zeros in my checks. Can you imagine when I cash one? Pass some of them bottles around like we a man. Pardon my team for pulling up a couple Aston Martins and I'm farting and I'm pissing on you. It's like, look what we be starting. Take a look at this heated roof. Bottles full of arson. Something in this needle. Prior to the heat, I'm like, let's get stand a little. From stepping in the spot, I hope you don't mind. Disrespect it. Just you call me Dolce Rhymes and you don't say I'm. The pressure you don't mess with, press up on you.
No idea it's a Flip Star song, yeah, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's just a Busta song.
All right, I'm going to skip over to Flip Star.
In the town ride to see me stunting in my new whip, mashing on the gas with a pocket full of cash. They thinking it's D-Wade when I'm rolling down the Ave now. It's the go-getter, get more cheddar, general ground, both cows. So much numbers in my ledger, I could get a big ring for every day of the week. I got my jeweler like a doctor on call. You would think I play ball. You would think I play ball for these big rings. Ball for these. Think I play ball for these big rings. Ball for these. Think I play ball for these big rings. Ball for these. Play ball.
All right, Spliff Star. Go off, Spliff Star. I like the production on that one. That one I didn't love it as much as you know, the regular Busta stuff with him on it. But I, you know, he holds his own in that. It is very funny that it's Busta first and that for so long. You're like, I don't know what this is.
And it's not even just Busta doing the verse. It's he's doing the hook too. Like it's his song. It's just like, yeah, I'm gonna be on the end, but I'm gonna just name it your song. Don't worry about it. You can keep it. I didn't use this for my album, Spliff. You can keep this one.
Should we hear? Let's hear Make It Clap too while we're at it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Uh oh. Yeah, this YouTube thing might cause us a problem because there was some, damn it, there was something I wanted to play. I wanted to play that clip of Memphis. Shit. Oh well. Let's see. All right. Let's see. I'm going to do Make It Clap. All right. Oh wait. This and is I don't know what the remix.
You playing the regular or the remix? Yeah, I was gonna
say. So I could play the regular and then the remix. I'll okay. Do. So let's hear some of the regular.
Just make it clap. Just make it clap. Hey yo, we about to take everybody from every street and throw a party in the Grand Canyon. Come on. Faking the fluids, water dripping off asses of women that shaking into it while I'm taking you through it. No mistake in my crew, it's Slip Mode, baby. Got you acting all stupid, now I'm back in the Coopers. Just to tell you the truth, it's some niggas that be having you black and they're ready to lose it. Pushing Lambos and Harleys, rocking Roberto Cavalli. Now I got a new hobby, diamonds and tattooing bodies.
Watch me. I'm gonna skip forward a little bit here.
All right, so yeah, up until that point in his career I was like, all right, he's just the average rapper, but he's pretty cool next to Busta for shows.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then the remix came out, and I was blown away by how, like, interesting his rhyme scheme was in it. He does, like, a couple of creative things that, like, were different in terms of, like, changing tone, stretching out words that have now become more commonplace. You'll see, like, Nicki Minaj did it a lot. And, like, when he did it, I thought it was, like, really, like, oh, this is dope, and he's capable of this, and no one's ever going to hear it because he's never going to get a solo. This is just the only, like, teaser we get of it. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I was impressed with the guy's talent. Either that or, like, he's just put 10 years worth of effort into this one verse. He's like, I'm going to nail it once, all right, just to let y'all know I can, okay?
Should we go ahead and hear the remix too?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the remix. I definitely like the reference.
Yeah, that. Let's listen to that remix.
We'll make it clap. We'll make it clap. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Flip mode.
Busta rhyme.
Busta rhymes. Sean
the ball.
Sean Paul.
One more time. Chill him with the rhyme. Remix time.
Remix.
Yo, flip star.
Flip
mode squad.
Ha.
Kill him with the rhyme.
Jump up, clap on the one and sit down. Get up and get now wiggle. Make everybody flip out and never carry on. Till you're tired, I want to chill out. All of the gala spread out, make everybody keep. Split for Sean and Paul in the corner. Can't believe him, we do it, we smack it down how we wanna. Keeping it coming, keeping it going, cause we ain't playing. I'm talking to all my people, cause what I'm saying is. In case you ain't knowing, in case you ain't heard. And if you want us to send it, just give me the word. This one goes down to my soldiers that be flipping them birds. To all my shorties wiggling and shaking their curves.
We'll make it clap. We'll make it clap. We'll make it clap. We'll make it clap.
Poor snapper. Look at shorty shaking it and making it clap. Booty big, poking out like 20s on the lap. When I give it to her, shorty know how to do it back. We be banging to the beat, sometimes we overlap. Sing, y'all peel out your blouse and your tight jeans. Let me lick it down, dip you in some ice. Scream, y'all holla, holla my name when I slide. Dean, thunderstorm, rain, sleet, and lightning. Hold me tight, feel it, trini man grinding and grinding and grinding. Y'all dip and bounce, start whining. You see Spliff, Sean Paul, and Busta rhymes in.
We got dough.
You can tell by what we driving.
Look at the juice.
I'll be tripping and blinding, and blinding, and blinding. It's like that. Make it clap now. In case you ain't knowing it.
I totally see what you're saying about the Nicki Minaj thing.
Yes, me
right?
too.
Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
It's something wild. That's like she was kind of given credit for, and people have definitely done more and more since. But he's the first person I heard do anything like that on a mainstream record. I really like enjoyed it. And I remember just thinking, like, oh, this is crazy. And then we just, he's like, all right, that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to do it once. Yeah, I'm gonna see that again.
I also, I don't know if Tom, you watched the video, but the video when he says, in the original version, when he talks about the Grand Canyon, they're in this like animated Grand Canyon background that I feel like if it was made 10 years earlier when music video budgets were higher, they probably would have been at the Grand Canyon. But in this one, they're just like, someone just draw the Grand Canyon. It's fine.
It's good enough. They get the point. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That must suck to be like the producer of a video like that. And you're like, can you just not say the Grand Canyon in this? Could you just say a cheaper place?
Somewhere maybe? In New York? Say Grand Central. Grand Central, yeah, we can do.
It's, you go there all day. So I got close. Metro cards. You're good.
Is it that necessary? yeah, so I liked watching him on this on that video a lot. He seems like a very smart guy, and I think you've given him the credit that he deserves, and I think people should do a deeper dive and watch some of that show. Wait, what's it?
Drink Champs.
Drink
with,
Champs
with Noriega's his podcast.
So good. I liked watching that a lot, and it was very, very fun watch. So the other person we're going to talk about today is, I also, you sent this thing about his Wikipedia page that I thought was very funny. this is more about Spliff Star, and his Wikipedia page shows only his Busta Rhymes work and makes no mention of his own album that he put out.
It's amazing. Like, he puts out an album, finally. There's no link to it. Like, no one's like, nah, we're not updating Wikipedia with this nonsense.
Don't even add it. They just there's put no all, reason.
There's even a song on Busta Rhymes' album that they tag him in that all he does is ad libs on a sketch. Like, is that there's no music? And they're like, no, yeah, this deserves to be talked about. But his music? No, we don't want to hear anything about Spliff's actual songs. We want to hear only what he's done for Busta Rhymes.
The other thing that's on this is in his filmography, he was in the 2000 film The Hip Hop Witch as himself. So, of course, you all knew that already. So, it's kind of pointless for me to even bring it up. But, all right. So, next up, we have here Memphis.
Memphis Bleek.
Bleek.
Who was he was
we
the
go.
Sidekick for Jason Z. And
that is right. Damn it. that is true. So you sent a few things here, and like I said, I read the thing earlier that about he's kind of treated with a little bit more respect. I totally missed this this line in the Diamonds remix that I think is a good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's, well, I guess I could play it just from the song.
Yeah. It's a great bar, but it hurts his legacy.
Yeah, it kind of. I didn't know. Like, I think I just didn't know what the reference was when I heard that song, and I also don't listen to the remix as much as I listen to the original. But I didn't realize that this line was about him. And it is painful. It's we'll just go to the name is mine, I'll take blame for that. The pressure's on, but guess who ain't gonna crack? Pardon me, I had to laugh at that. How could you falter when you're the rock with your balls? I had to get off the boat so I could walk on water. This ain't no tall order, this is nothing to me. Difficult takes a day, impossible takes a week. I do this in my sleep. I sold kilos of coke, I'm guessing I could sell CDs. I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman. Me handle my business, damn. Kanye's, you got me. Freeway to Flossy, YG's, Pierre, Marie, PD, watch me. Bleak could be one hit away his whole career. As long as I'm alive, he's a millionaire. And even if I die, he's in my will somewhere. So he could just kick back and chill somewhere. Oh yeah. He don't even have to write rhymes for Dynasty like my money last three lines.
He just keeps going too. No, seriously, he doesn't have to do shit. He sucks.
Seriously, he's for sure gonna be living off my income until he dies. I'm gonna be feeding his kids for sure.
I can't even send all Blue Ivy to college because I'm giving all my money to Memphis Bleak.
Needs every dime. Like, he needs this. <So funny. laughs> But yeah, like, he'd been referencing it for years. Like, especially like the first 3 to 4 albums that Jay-Z put out, like, he kept saying, like, Memphis Bleak was one hit away. And it felt like it, when I heard this line on Diamond Remix, it felt like Jay-Z was playing the long game of like, I'm just setting up this punchline for 10 years from later when this guy doesn't make it. I get to say that, yeah, he's still one hit away and it's okay. You know, like, it's incredible foresight. But I wanted to show this story too, because he shows the other side of the sidekick story. Whereas Spliff is someone that I think very quickly realized, I'm not the star, I'm the sidekick. Yeah. Memphis Bleak, Jay-Z and Memphis did everything possible to make him the guy. Like, yeah, they kind of made a song literally called Coming of Age of this young kid on Jay-Z's first album saying, hey, I'm just putting out an album so that I could introduce you to this guy. On the second album, Volume 1, Memphis Bleak actually doesn't appear on it at all because apparently he got so cocky from the first album appearance that he was no longer someone that they could rely on for studio sessions.
Wow.
So Jay-Z punishes him and doesn't let him record or appear on it. Then on the third album, on Volume 2, they finally welcome back and they officially pass off the baton in the intro. Jay-Z announces that he's going to retire for the first time at this point. And, and he lets Memphis Bleak do the opening intro to what is Jay-Z's most successful album, Volume 2. They made a lot of effort. You know, he had incredible producers over and over again on his albums. Swizz Beatz, Just Blaze, Kanye, anyone who was important at the time, Ja Rule, Beanie Siegel, they were all accessible for this guy to have on songs. And he made good songs, just never great ones. And unfortunately, he just never reached that level. But Jay-Z stood by him because this guy admittedly also did the legwork. He kept showing up to shows and tours and riding out with him and being his hype man for his songs. And Jay kind of always paid that back.
Hell yeah. I did find, so let's go ahead and hear Coming of Age. Cause I feel like that's the first thing. I didn't realize that was the backstory behind that. And that's really cool that he was just like, immediately, I'm just giving you this guy. This is going to be the guy. That's really cool. So I found that here. Let's go ahead and listen to some of that.
Yeah. Come experience life as we know it. As some of you should know it. Yeah, yeah. Place, Marcy, Brooklyn. Actions. Well, y'all know the actions. I got the shorty on my block, always clocking my rocks. He likes a style of profile, I think he won the mock. He likes the way I walk, he see my money talking. The honey's talking, I'm the hottest nigga in New York. And I see his hunger pains, I know his blood boils. He wanna run with me, I know this kid'll be loyal. I watched him make a few wins, to cop his little sneakers and gear. Then it's just enough for re-up again. I see myself in his eyes, I move from Levi's, the guest of Versace. Now it's diamonds like Liberace, that's just a natural cycle. Nobody wanna be like Michael, where I'm from, just them niggas who bail from a gun. We out here trying to make our white into cold green. I could help shorty blow out like Afro Sheen. Plus, I could relive my days if you were just gone. That little nigga's peeped. It's time to put it's him on. To come on. And hold my own weight, defend my crown. Got to lock it down, and when they rush, stand my ground. It's time to come on. Stick up my chest and make some loot. Got to lock it down, and when they rush, stand on my own too. I'm out here slinging, bringing the drama. Trying to come up in the game and add a couple of dollar signs to my name. I'm out here serving, disturbing the peace. Life could be better like my man reclined in plush leather seats. And selling weight, I'm selling 8, bull 16. Trying to graduate the pushing quarters, y'all. I ain't gonna sweat him, I'ma let him come to me. If he give me the nod, then these niggas gon' see.
I'm tired of vegan out here around the clock and breaking dates and chasing crackers up the block for my pay. I'm staying fresh, so chickens check. I'm trying to step up to the next level, pushing vets through the jets. Diamonds reflect from the sun directly in your equilibrium. It's done. I'm waiting.
All right. We've heard 2 minutes of that. that is so wild. It's while listening to that, I was like, I like this. I like the sound a lot. I mean, he sounds good, but it's very weird to hear a guy like Jay-Z talking about a guy like that. He's just like, I like this guy. That's the whole his whole point. This guy is really cool.
I gotta say, like, it was probably the first example I got of like a healthy male relationship.
Yeah, you know, like, it's very rare.
Super progressive. He's like, you know, I got a fondness for this gentleman. He's a good guy. You know,
it was cool. I watched his interview, his Breakfast Club interview, Memphis Bleak, and it was cool. I didn't realize that they grew up in the same, and they both grew up in the Marcy and Projects, and. Yeah. And it's cool they've known each other that long, like truly grew up together, which I didn't know. I thought that was really interesting. Mm.
Yeah, my understanding is like one of Memphis Bleak's like older sisters or cousins was friends with like some of Jay-Z's siblings. But Jay-Z's like roughly a decade older than him. So he like saw this kid growing up and, you know, and literally that's why I love the song. He describes the situation. He's like, I saw this kid. He seemed really hardworking, but he was doing illegal things that I did before. But I also heard him rap once or twice and I actually heard he was good. So he like wanted to bring him along to do this other thing.
Yeah, it's so cool. It makes you love Jay-Z even more.
Yeah, too. It's wholesome. Like, yeah. Like, oh, this lovable cool. drug dealer. You know, he's such a great guy.
Absolutely. I think we should hear real fast the, because now that this is working again. So he was on Drink Champs too and talking about.
Yes, that was great. Yeah.
The moment that Jay-Z changed his life. So here, it's just a minute long, so I'll play the whole thing.
Yeah.
Hugged, kicked the bitch out. That's when Hov gave me the realest speech ever. And it changed everything. That's when I was like, yo, I'm never going to fall out of line again.
Everybody put your seatbelts on. I'm ready for
no
this
bullshit.
Speech. Yeah, what's the speech? You got to tell us the speech.
He looked me in my eye. That nigga said, yo, I've been calling you all day to come to the studio. I'm trying to give you the opportunity to change this, right. To change your family life out there. Mm. This what you want? This what you want? You want to be in the crib with these dots in the hood? You know, it wasn't dots.
It was dots. It was definitely like jump balls.
Yeah, little skios.
Like
it was skios then. Okay. You want to be with the skios in the hood and shit? He was like, nigga, I'm trying to give you the opportunity to change everybody's life in this apartment right now. He was like, remember one thing. I'm rich already. I don't need you. You need me, nigga. Got up out the crib and left.
I got chills in my body.
War. Niggas left.
Got chills.
I'll start clapping.
Nori's a great host for a podcast.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
I love that they clap too. That never happens on our show. No one ever claps.
What the hell? Very good. Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Remember those skios?
I love that they had to clarify that. Like they were like, hold on, this is a sticking point. I want to be
accurate.
Wait
a second. No way he said all that. In what way did he disrespect the women who were in your home?
We can't move on until we get this right, okay? I want to be time accurate with the disrespect.
He wouldn't have said sluts back then. He would have said...
You won't understand unless I get this part right, you know?
He wouldn't have said thoughts.
Oh, man. But yeah, that was like... That was kind of like that moment between the first and second album. So, you know, Jay-Z was already getting a lot of success from Reasonable Doubt. He had this appearance that you just played, the coming of age, and he kind of got out of control. And understandably, he's like 16 years old. Like, you know, like you're on a gold record. The songs from this album were playing on Hot 97. Like, that had to feel like, you know, incredible. Like, it's too much ego you're giving this kid, right? So, like, it was cool to kind of hear the backstory. That's why I sent it over.
Very
I thought
cool.
It was cool, like, to kind of see the humanity of it and that this dude was failable.
Yeah. That was, the Jay-Z didn't give up on him was very cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, he saw the potential because it was a kid. I don't know if that interaction goes the same with if it's an adult. You know, that's also another part of this dynamic that I also thought was interesting, both with Memphis Bleek and with Spliff, in the sense that, like, both before and after the person that they were sidekicks for, they tried to also give the shot to someone else. You know, like Jay-Z at the time, when it wasn't working with Memph, had a really talented adult that he was working with Sauce Money. And when Memphis wasn't acting right, Sauce started getting appearances. People thought he was going to get signed up. And even afterward, when it wasn't like working necessarily, you know, you had like Beanie Siegel's kind of like come up. So, and same with Busta. You know, before that, you look up the first Busta album is Rampage. Rampage is the guy all over that. And he's a member of Flipmo Squad, but they realize, hey, he's not a star. And then again, afterward, he's like, all right, let me try Rod Digga and Lord Have Mercy. And over again, like, these two guys kind of just said, all right, we'll wait. You know, we're loyal. We see the long-term vision, and we're okay with you experimenting like that. So I thought it was dope.
Hell yeah.
The Memphis Bleek also in that interview, he said that he kind of told Jay-Z about Rick Ross, which I thought was really cool. And I was like, that's awesome. That's a good claim to fame to have too. I used to be like obsessed with Kanye when I was a little younger. And that was how I would find, like, when Lupe Fiasco got a verse on a Kanye song, that's how I started listening to Lupe Fiasco. Mm-hmm. Or Chance the Rapper, same shit. So it does mean so much to get any verse on one of those big albums.
Absolutely. I mean, that's Nicki Minaj, like 100%. Oh, yeah. Sure. I wouldn't have known shit about her if it wasn't for Monster.
Yeah, that's honestly one of the things I miss the most of, like, the CD era, if you will. Like, you discovered a new artist, and, like, there was excitement. Like, I would go to school the next day, like, yo, you heard, who is that guy? It's crazy, you know? And you, you'd get excited anytime a new CD came in with another appearance from that person. Whereas now, like, there's a whole marketing plan behind them. They got 100 pictures on IG already. You know, like, they ready. They already fully formed when you get them.
I wish they did that. I listen to mostly indie rock now. I wish they did that. Like, I wish there was an Arcade Fire song where it's just, like, the dude from The National sings a verse for some reason. Like, what the
hell? No, rock should do that. I'm on board with that.
Yeah, I wish they would do it. They, like, every... I mean, people kind of do that, but it's not nearly as, like, rampant. But it also, if they just bring in their like own style of a song, rather than because like if like Phoebe Bridgers is with The National, it's like that's gonna be mostly a National song. And, all right, let's hear the next song, Memphis Bleek, Jay-Z featuring Memphis Bleek and Pain in the Ass. It is Hand It Down. So this one is on Spotify. I could have just done that.
Sorry, boy. Waiting for my day to come. Just give me the word. Nah, this ain't Jigga. It's your little nigga Bleek. Reporting to these motherfuckers live from the street. They ain't my peep those. My mind's so advanced at 9. I used the geese hoes for Easter clothes. Peep the steez. I represent for all those with 28 grams. Wanna come up trying to creep the keys. Large niggas told me park the car. Keep the keys. Find a hood rat and creep the Mickey D's. First gun, 2 bullets. Niggas know I do pull it. Niggas trying to kill me, dog. Who wouldn't? Screw Gooden. I pitch in the PJs. Lit off the EJ. I split Dutchies with my ring finger. You find a bitch that owe me cream bringer. Last scene with Bing. He got draw between us. Shit is constant. That's why I pack the Johnson & Johnson for the nonsense. Who wants it? I go to sleep with a picture of a Porsche on my wall. Man, I'm trying to come up on y'all. Get one up on y'all. That's why I hustle in these streets from sundown to sun up on y'all. Mama said, keep bullshitting, they'll kill you dead. 1 week of this hustling, brought a living room set. Went to Tom D's, niggas mad, veins out. Cop the Jordans, 2 weeks before they came out. Flashy, fly little nigga. Nosy bitch from the third floor like why little nigga? Bitch, please, twist the trees. Took a long pull, like bitch to breathe. That's my answer, life's like cancer. And I'm serious.
Man, that verse is so good, and it does make you wonder, like, damn, I wonder why he never did like blow up like that. Like, you listen to that, it's like, damn, he's awesome.
Yeah,
nasty. Yeah,
and that's the intro to Volume 2, Jay-Z's biggest selling album. So again, like, Jay did what he could to set him up. He's like, yo, the first, and he acknowledges it, like, nah, this ain't Jigga, is Bleek. Like, to start off my like the guy's album, it's me, not him. Mm-hmm. And he explains why. Like, by the same token, there's like hints like in that verse that like, yeah, he's not like thinking big enough for this, you know. Mm. So he's like, you know, like his like he's like, yo, like all I want to do is go to McDonald's with like a girl, like that was his like goal, you know. So like,
well, at least a happy story.
He yeah, got it's to whole, do like, all that. I'm happy for him. Like he doesn't want much in life. He's a simple guy, but but like I was like, okay, I don't know if you got like big picture thinking if that's where you're at. But yeah, I enjoyed, like, he has a lot of cool lines like that I really enjoyed in that verse. I love the idea of like, flirting with women at 9 for Easter clothing. I thought that was chill. Like, I really dig this charm. And, at the time, I, to your point, I believed he was the guy. I was like, oh, this is mm-hmm. dope. You know, at the time, it was also a real big deal to get a beat from DJ Premier. And Jay-Z had one on every album up until that point, and the only one on that album was that one.
Oh wow!
So
wow.
He like gave it to him. Wow. So again, like everything he could to kind of like set this guy up, but it just didn't work out that way. You know, his singles, while catchy, just showed a lack of like worldly thinking. They were very much like street only records, over and over again. So. He had a really like a strong connection with that niche, but not necessarily the worldwide appeal that Jay-Z ended up having.
Damn, that's it's too bad because, but you know, no matter what happens, he's in Jay-Z's will, so it'll all be fine. But yeah, no, like, that verse is so nasty that it's like I can't wait to listen to that again because that's so sick. And it kind of reminds me of I mean, we already talked about Chance a little bit, but the way that Kanye kicked off Pablo with yeah. the Chance verse, basically, yeah. and it's I think one of the best verses on the
so
album.
Good, yeah.
And then it's also sadly one of the best things Chance has ever done. Like. Yeah. The rest of his shit became kind of a disappointment to me, and I loved Acid Rap, but it kind of like, I mean, he's obviously surpassed this and that he became a star, but it's like, then also he canceled all his shit a bunch of times because of low turnout, so yeah. Who knows?
And the most recent project just wasn't of the quality of anything he'd put out. Like, I think... Yeah. Like, just unfortunately, his career trajectory is down. Like, say what you will about Memphis, he never blew up. But his albums actually got better, I would say. Mm-hmm. I would argue that, like, you know, his project, he's put out like 4 or 5 albums. And every time I heard a Memphis album, I always could say, oh, that was better than the prior one.
Yeah, so, I feel the exact opposite about Chance, where it's like everything has been a little worse than the thing before. Like, I loved Acid Rap, and then I like Coloring Book, and then it's just kind of been, yeah.
He's fizzled, yeah. So it's a tough gamble. And you're speaking of the guy that gave him the shot, like, I love like bringing up Kanye when it comes to like someone like Memphis Bleek, because he ended up being the guy. Like, mm-hmm. Jay-Z yep. tried so hard yep. to pick and force who was going to be the star to replace him, and it ended up being a guy that he tried as much as possible not to sign. You know, like, this guy's like, yo, I got beats, I don't want it. Like, yo, like, I got record deals from other record labels, I still don't want you. Like, he tried so bad, and like, yeah. he, like, and Kanye like literally made love songs to this guy. He's like, yo, like, yeah. Yeah, you're my big brother. Big still don't want to be on a song with you, even if you're on my label. Like, finally, like, the dude goes, like, diamond. He's like, all right, I'll be on a remix. Like, it took so much to get, like, acknowledgement from this guy. The whole industry's on board with it. But, yeah, I love that that idea of, like, you can't pick the king. You can't pick who's mm-hmm. next. You know, as much as you want to, like, you know, that's chosen by the people.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we got a couple more things to play here, and then we gotta rate this playlist and get the hell up out of here. Oh, we also have Facebook and stuff to get to. But all right, so the next thing we have here. Oh, this one is this is great. So this is Memphis Bleek featuring Jay-Z and Missy Elliott. Is That Your Chick? I loved the beginning of this.
This is the opening of the video. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. So it's for people who are not watching right now, it's a picture of a woman in a, you know, it's like it says Rockefeller Records on it, and it looks like it's like a magazine picture where it says the price of all the items on her body. It's his glasses, $325, dress, $1,200, panties, $0, none. I love that. All right.
Is this your chick? Do she suffer from ice-itis? Or could she be affected by the bling bling? Yo, Bleak, bang that joint.
R-O-C-H. Mentally, yeah. Chicken man, yeah. Missy, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Show up. Check it out now, yo, yo, watch your eye. I ain't gon' lie, what I look like, turn it down, I drove by. Recognize a pimp, open your eyes, hop in the passenger side of the ride. Damn, Bleak, can't speak, okay, what's up? Shut up and close the door, act like you've been in the drop top on the open road before. Fix your weave, then fix me, ever gave a f***ing 160? Ever seen a pair of kicks this crispy? How you love how the to fit me, M dot, him hot, them not.
That's gay stuff.
Oh, that why she all of his six with a handle his? Keep licking her lips. That your chick? Why she all of his ride with a handle his style? Keep licking in his eyes. Oh, is that your chick? Better tell her chill while you all in his grill. Don't you know that man? That your chick? Why she beeping him? Keep praising him, cause that's bleak.
Yeah,
him.
I'm sure you're mad at me. I don't love him. I don't chase him. I duck him. I replace him with another one.
That's, That's a fun song. I like that. I enjoyed that a lot. 5.6 million views on YouTube. I would think that would have more, honestly.
Yeah, there's a few like layers to that too. Like this is similar to like the Buster Big Rings dynamic. This was originally a Jay-Z song. There are two unreleased versions with like extra verses that came out before but were leaked. This is during that time where like a song might get stolen from the studio. So he was working on this for one of his projects and it just never fit one of the albums and it got reworked into a Memphis Bleak song. But there are two leaked versions that are unmixed with three different Jay-Z verses twice over. So like this is one of those verses, but Jay-Z basically made this song three times. Twice by himself and once again with Memph. So combined, they'll probably have like a lot more listens. But there's people that are like, I prefer this version of it or this one. But this was like a way of him kind of leveraging something that wouldn't have happened. You know, like you got Missy Elliott, a beat by Timbaland on a Memphis Bleak project. Like that budget doesn't add up, you know? So that this is the way they made it possible. Like, I know that was for me, but I'm going to let you keep this one, you know?
Yeah.
And, it came out pretty well.
Hell yeah. All right, we got one last song here. Let's hear some of Memph Bleak Is. It's going to take a second for that. Oh, here we go.
Yes, indeed. That was his kickoff single for the first album. And I felt like the reason I'm glad you played that, because that like highlights to me why he didn't make it. It was a good song. I liked it. But like it showed a lack of awareness of the situation. He has a beat by Swizz Beatz, who at the time was like the club guy. And he purposely, you know, like he doesn't have a ton of these, but he still chooses to do a chorus on the song that half of it has to get like bleeped out. Like the reason there's no response yeah. to Memphis.
Even on YouTube, they bleeped it. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but like it's a radio song with the most radio friendly producer of your time. And you make a song where your fans can't sing along to the chorus. Like it was illogical. Like, and it's something that, you know, Jay-Z makes a ton of street songs, but he always made a single that he knew would work for the general masses. Mm-hmm. And it just showed like Memphis didn't think that way. And you know, again, great song. I like it, but it wasn't for the audience that Jay-Z was able to capture. But yeah, he, for those wondering, he says murder and drugs are the other things that Memphis Bleek is.
You just got bleeped on the podcast, so they wanted to be able to.
It's not allowed.
It was funny reading the YouTube comments for all these videos you sent us, because every almost like 4 out of 5 comments are all just much better than the rap today. Like today's rap sucks.
I was just reading one that's like, I miss beats like this.
The whole bunch beats of 40-year-olds with nostalgia.
100%. Yeah.
Oh man, I started working at like UPS right after college, and I cannot tell you how many fights I had to break up on a conveyor belt between 30-year-olds over like Memphis Bleek and Jay-Z and all these type of songs. They're like, Jay-Z picked Memph got next, and they're like, you don't know what you're talking about. Know what I mean? He like, yo, Memphis real. He's about murder, drugs, money for life. You know what I mean? I'm about that. I'm like, you are packing boxes. Like, you are not about that at all.
But my side thing.
Yeah.
My dream.
Like, you don't understand.
I'm going to night school so I can get into murder. Money.
I'm like, sir, you have a union job. Like, what are you talking about? You think murder, drugs, and money gives you time and a half? No. We here. Oh, man. Yeah, it was good times.
That is great. All right. We got one segment here before we get to the reviews, which I don't even know if it makes sense to do a rating of this playlist with two different things or whatever, but we could take a shot at it. Why not? And there is no comment from Jared this week.
No,
before I even texted him. Before I even texted him to ask, he said nope. After he saw the Facebook thing, he doesn't know anything about these guys. So
is that his forte? Is that his cup of tea? I don't know these rappers that are next to other rappers that are more important.
Let's go to the Facebook. I asked about I made it a little broad, but I said we're talking about rap sidekicks today, and then I said specifically Spliffstar and Memphis Bleek, if you got thoughts. And Darren Patterson writes, Flavor Flav, the OG.
Yes, indeed.
Dad Dizzle Davis says, Memphis Bleek's verse off Jay-Z's Volume 2, Hard Knock Life, Track 1, Intro, Hand It Down, is still, to this day, one of my favorite verses from any rapper. Yeah. Will it got the respect it deserved today, Chad Dizzle?
There we go.
Mike O'Keefe says, Proof, who was Eminem's buddy, was amazing.
Good choice.
If I could have guessed anything that Mike O'Keefe was going to write on this, it would have been
about Eminem. Yeah. Well, they rated. I read like a complex top 10 rap sidekicks, and they put Proof number 1. Wow. I think they put Memphis Bleek number 2, and Spliffstar is 4. I think is how it shook out. But yeah.
I wonder who you remember who got that 3 spot.
I don't. I remember Flavor Flav was 5, and the 3 is out of my mind. But.
Wow, I'm surprised Flavor was that low. Wow.
Yeah. He definitely seems like the most famous example of this, right?
Yeah, I would say he's the most known of the sidekicks. There's guys like, I'm trying to think of who else that I would have enjoyed. Magoo, Freaky Ty from Lost Boys. Magoo was Timbaland's. He doesn't get a lot. He had the weird voice on all those early Timbaland records. But yeah, there's some like legendary ones. Who else was brought up?
Oh, yo, 3 was Lil Cease.
Lil Cease. That's a good one, too. I can't front Biggs. Yeah, that's a solid one. Okay, I'll take it back. All right, Flav, I can see why you 5.
Wayne Mimit says, I once met Murphy Lee. He was cool.
Oh, wow. St. Lunatics.
Okay. Go ahead.
There we go. Jonathan Sparkles says, poor Spliff Star never had a chance. And he then not. He said, Diddy was a better sidekick than producer. Discuss amongst yourselves.
Well, Diddy is awesome because Diddy was a sidekick and then realized for his success, I need a sidekick, and got Mace.
Mm. Oh, you know? Right.
So he figured it out. He's like, yep, I helped Biggie's success. I'm going to take it to the next level. I'm going to just have this guy on all my songs with me. He's already writing them anyway. You know, so, yeah.
No responses from, I don't think, the
Patreon.
The Patreon.
There was
none
on
week.
Twitter.
I posted it late, so my bad. But if you want to get your comments read, guaranteed, get on that Patreon for $3 a month, where you also get bonus episodes every damn week. And there's a tier where you can be a guest on the Patreon. So get on over there, patreon.com/standbyyourband. Baby, there was a couple more comments on here, but they were a little redundant. And then Alex Price had one that I didn't know who he was talking about.
You're talking about Bushwick Bill from Ghetto
Boys,
right?
Yeah, he said, what's he from?
Isn't he from Ghetto Boys, Bushwick Bill? Or am I?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay. As a group from Texas, Scarface would have been their star.
He says, does Bushwick Bill meet this criteria? And Jonathan Sparkle said, that's a tough call. Even as a member of a group, he had a very sidekicky quality, but he had a few solo joints too, including the ridiculously named Phantom of the Rapper. That was great because it doesn't even really work. So funny.
I'm gonna force this reference, okay? By any means.
Oh, and Sam Ike writes, State Property is an American classic, and then tagged Tommy Heat.
He loves to tag. Yep.
He's the tag king of Facebook. Sam Ike. All right, that brings us to the last segment of the show, which is Gaster, you get to take the floor with the final your final points on both these guys.
Yeah, so reason I want to share them is because the sidekick is underappreciated in the success of the rapper. You know what I mean? You have a guy like Jay-Z, a guy like Busta Rhymes, they are viewed as like, you know, greatest of all times, hip hop royalty. But is it possible to get to that level without the people by you? You know what I mean? You don't build kingdoms by yourself. You know what I mean? You need a team. Somebody has to be next to you, passing you the water. You know, when you're on stage, jumping up and down, doing ad-libs because you are out of breath. You know what I mean? Somebody has to be in the studio to say, hey, you could have done that again. You know what I mean? Somebody has to keep you sharp on the team. Somebody has to be in charge of said skeezers, hoes, and bitches, depending on what area you're in, according to Memphis Bleak. Somebody has to be there to bring in the drugs across airports. You know what I mean? There are valuable jobs here, you know what I mean, that you guys take for granted. The guys like Jay-Z and Busta Rhymes understood from the very beginning were integral to their success. So, yeah, that's all I'm saying. Sidekicks, incredibly important. And also I want to point this out because just in case you ain't meant to be a star, maybe you meant to be a sidekick. You know, these guys figured it out. Different points in their life. One guy figured it out early. One guy figured it out late. But either way, they knew, hey, listen, I ain't the man here, but I could help the man be the man. That could be you. All that said, I'm looking for an intern if you want to be my Memphis Bleak. Hit me up.
That's so weird because I'm looking for a superstar to help out. I'm real good at tossing waters. I have a t-shirt gun. I'm gonna really take this to the top. This was so great, man. And like I said, I don't really know how to score this because it's like it's two different guys, and it's I felt differently about the two guys a little bit. I liked Memph a lot more talent wise, but I like Spliff's attitude so much. I think he's a good guy, and so
yeah, Spliff is someone that you'd be like. He's the only rapper that I would use the word spunk for.
I liked him on these tracks more than I liked his single, but I didn't mind the single. It was all right, but I liked pretty much all the stuff from Memph. I didn't love the last time, but it was still cool and I liked the footage of New York in it. But the important thing here is you did a great job of compiling an argument and of giving the information that made this episode roll. So, you know, I'm going perfect score for that. This is a lot. And you gave us 7 songs. So, yeah, I guess it's 7 out of 7. Even though mostly because I spent so much time watching that video and I was like, all right, this was valuable to me. And now I have that show. Tommy, what do you think?
I think it was great listening to this and learning this stuff. It was like it was a breath of fresh air. We went from the whitest thing we could possibly do, which was a German dance band from the 70s. And this was a nice breath of fresh air. It was a great thing to, I was so happy to do it. I was really enjoying this, especially that one verse, I forget what it's called at the top of my head. From the intro, Hand It Down.
The intro,
but
yeah.
That was truly amazing. So and I'd never heard it, so I was so excited to hear that. I liked all the Memphis Bleek stuff a lot, and I felt the same way. I just thought Spliff Star was cool, and I liked there was a move I forgot to bring up that he did when Busta was rapping during Break Your Neck, where he's just like pointing at the microphone while he's rapping. I was like, Tom, I'm doing that to you when we're podcasting live next
time.
I really enjoyed this. So yeah, why not? Why not just go double perfect? Why not?
There we go.
Yeah.
Love it.
You get to rate it too, Gaster.
I'm def going up there with this. I'm going with the perfect score, 10 out of 10. You know what I mean? You gotta support these dudes' dreams. You know what I mean? Some people dream of writing the lyrics, some people dream of being in the background and saying, you know what I mean? They live that dream. They do ad libs in the backgrounds of all these songs and do it better than anybody else. I'm a fan of that. I also just like the idea that Tommy said breath of fresh air and referenced a video that was shot in Marcy Projects. I just think that's something that's never happened. The breath
Breathe
of fresh
in that
air.
Fresh air.
That place got like 2 trees on that whole block.
That is beautiful. I also want to say it did give me the idea, or it actually goes in line with our idea that all of our Patreon subscribers need to put us in their will, and they mm-hmm. can't forget that.
Yep.
That's part of the deal.
Part of the deal.
And even if we never have a, you know, if we never have a hit, if we stay one hit podcast episode away.
And mind you don't got to put like a large part of your estate, just whatever your current Patreon level is.
Yes.
Just keep doing that. You know what I mean? Keep sending those $3 a month.
Sure. Or like if you feel like putting your house down, whatever. It's all... Everything is accepted.
They did. I mean, we are like Memphis, but we got on the Vulture list. They gave us the shot. It still didn't help. We still didn't make it big.
We don't have to write rhymes. That is certainly true.
They are still one hit away, but they are hoping, you know?
Hell yeah. Well, thanks so much, man. You want to go ahead and give a clean plug for that pod again?
Yeah, man. The podcast is called The War Report. With Gaster Amonte and Shalay with Sharp. Please check it out. It's on all streaming services. I think you'll dig it. New episodes every Thursday. Bonus episodes on most Mondays when I remember to wake up on time to post it. So, yeah, do it up.
Hell yeah. Get over there. And, dude, thanks so much for doing this. This was a great time. And I'm excited to check that pod out myself.
I appreciate y'all, man. Thank you so much for having me. Real talk, man.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, we will see you guys next week on the pod. Check out that Patreon. Don't forget. And keep it crispy. Bye.
Peace.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.